Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 35, Episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist for June 15th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Bye-bye, Der Daily Zeitgeist. No. Heard me screaming one day streaming, and it made me think twice. And the good homeboy, Mr. Miles of Bray, said this will be the phrase that won't die. This will be the phrase that won't die. Oh, that is courtesy of Certified Genius on Twitter.
Don't encourage him, Genius
Zeppelin. I was literally just almost definitely going to bring it back today. And I got that fire, a.k.a. And, you know.
All right, so blow up at Genius's mentions, everybody.
That's a feature-length a.k.a.
I know, it was so long.
Wow.
But, you know, had to do it. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You took so much energy out of the show. And I don't even know
this is just going to be your energy the whole show.
Yeah,
just
basically, because
whatever.
I need the scream to do, yeah. And now I'm just going to have to do my AKA really flat, like, everything you gray to me takes me one step closer to the edge, and I'm about to gray. Nice. Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up! Dude, that song, shout out to at Plebibo Caribo on Twitter.
Great Twitter.
Sick handle. The hybrid theory, my goodness. When I was angry in 17, boy. Oh, I love that song. Witnessed a massive fight outside the Staples Center after we played hockey. I was on the hockey team in high school, and there was some little bit of argy bargy during the game. There's some, you know, some 5 minute majors have been handed out. And some people caught us in the parking lot, and we had to throw down with the other team. And this one dude
that was playing in the back of your mind while you were hockey people.
Well, they came at me, and then I just pulled my stick back, and I was like, I will hit you with this. And then they were like, no. But what they did do was chase around this one kid, Randy. Yo, I'm so sorry, Randy, that
we didn't have your back, Randy.
He ran so hard, his shoes came off, and then they threw him on the 110 freeway.
They threw his shoes?
Straight up threw his shit onto the freeway.
Him onto the
but he was also like one of those kids who like pissed you off a lot. So like when you're like, man, just wait one day, some shit's gonna happen, and I'm just gonna be like, okay.
Hockey, there's your comeuppance. Hockey kids are more ruthless.
Hockey kids are fucking crazy. Yeah.
They're ruthless. Yeah, they're like unhinged in a very particular way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, and California hockey is a very specific bunch, so.
It sounds like, what's the word? Thing that shouldn't exist.
Right.
An oxymoron? Yeah.
Cali hockey.
Dude.
Cali
hockey, dude.
I just took my jet ski here.
Yeah, dude.
To hockey practice.
I took the 110 to hockey
practice. 110 to hockey practice. Got a two-man mine for a bit of a hook, but all G.
Well, you guys know who it is in our third seat. She's the record holder for the most guest appearances. One of the funniest humans doing anything, anywhere. Her name is an anagram for I Mage Floatus. And if you think that's an accident, I have a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Please welcome Jamie Loftus!
A.K.A. Lil Zamb.
Lil Zamb. Hey, did you get that tattoo?
Yeah, you didn't see it.
Oh, okay, you're crazy.
Boom!
Wow. You got a Zamboni tattoo? She got the Zamboni tattoo.
It's a little bit too big.
Hold on, let me see.
It's awesome.
A little bigger than I thought it was going to be.
It is.
That's kind of lit. Did you draw? And you drew it?
You designed it? I drew it. I went to the tattoo parlor on Sunday and they first printed it. Like,
you're like, give me your finest Zamboni. They're like, that's not one of our stock pieces of art.
Right.
I had to go explain what a Zamboni is. That's understandable. But they were trying to get me to get such a large Zamboni, like a full back piece of a Zamboni. Because you can see how big it is. They originally were like, it's got to be twice that size. I was like, I'm not good at like standing up for myself, but I was like, I can't do that. I can't, the Zamboni can't be that big.
Right.
And talked him down to this. It's still,
it looks,
you know,
great.
Talked him down. They are just like, fine, whatever.
I'm pretty happy.
If you want to look like an idiot with a tiny Zamboni tattoo.
I knew you had art skills because I've watched your animated short features, but that is like very detailed and, you know, it's like photorealistic Zamboni. I didn't know you had that in you. So
Thank
that's pretty
you.
Cool.
Yeah,
is
that
well you're like, done. I thought you were just doing creepy man faces.
Well, sure. No, I just know that you have a very specific style.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a great looking Zamboni. You're like
Thank you so much. The
Warhol, you know. People say he could actually paint too. He wasn't just the crazy stylized.
He wasn't just a screen printer.
Right.
Handing people the
Come
phone
on,
to God.
Guys.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into Jamie's over-unders and search history and all that good stuff. But first off, we like to tell people what's coming and what is coming. Ooh. We have a horrifying new chapter in the Benghazi involving some podcast guy named Chris Hardwick. We have the AT&T Time Warner merger, an impromptu Jazz Trump session that happened this morning.
I thought you were going to say Jazz Trumpet.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I almost did.
Mr. Miles Davis, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, we'll just use that as an opportunity to recap the week that was for the administration because that's kind of what he was doing. Yeah. The Summer of Scott continues with more details of Scott Pruitt fuckery. Paul Manafort will be gone till September. We're going to talk about one of the biggest mindfucks of a news story we've come across in our time on TDZ involving, as most great stories do, a clarinetist. We'll update you on some real Einstein quotes. The internet likes to give him credit for like every smart sounding thing anyone has ever said. Like that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting different results. That is not the definition of insanity. And also, he never said that. Also, the World War IV thing probably never said that either. We'll look at some shit he did say about Chinese people and get a World Cup date from Miles. Talk about some of our favorite tweets at the very end of the show. But first up, we like to ask our guest, Jamie, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Ooh, last night I really got into the thick of it. Have you guys seen The Staircase?
We have talked about
We've talked about it. I just started watching it.
Okay, if it's already been discussed, I guess I don't have much new to say to it other than I'm sick of Netflix buying up documentaries that have existed for 10 years and then being like, this is ours now. Yeah. I'm like, you cannot do that. You can't, just because it's been on Daily Motion for years, folks. Yeah, I went into a deep hole with that last night, Googling owls. And then I found...
Right, the owl thing is so interesting.
It's so, you know, I think that their points were made. Points were made. For me, points were made.
Are you Team Owl?
I don't know. Team Owl is so wild, and it feels like a little bit conspiracy theory-y to be on Team Owl, but I might be on Team Owl.
Yeah, I might be too. I think also Team, I don't know, is the right team to be on, because even the guy who has like interviewed all these people and is making this documentary for the past, you know, chunk of his career, like 15 years of his life, is like, I have honestly no idea if he did it or not.
I feel like the fact that he intentionally is like, yeah, I'm going to leave the owl part out.
Right.
Something.
Right.
I also have recently Googled how many people can block you on Twitter before you're suspended. Or is there like, is there a hard and fast rule? There's not.
There's not.
There's not. Right.
Why? What's going on?
Well, I was just, every once in a while, I like to just send out the call to just have as many people block my dad on Twitter for no reason as possible. I was like, hey, if anyone wants to just block my dad on Twitter, you can do it. Because for a long time, my dad and I were in this like head-to-head battle to see who had more followers on Twitter, because he had thousands more than me for a very long time. Because he posts hockey scores.
Right.
And people love that content. Personally, I find it to be a little pandering.
It's a utility.
Right.
Anyone could do it.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow.
So I find
Look,
it
I don't
want
to take a side in this battle. I'm also a big fan of your dad's hockey scores. So yeah. I don't want to, you know,
but
get
like,
involved.
Keep in mind, anyone could do it.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be funny, though. Like, there is that number, and he's like, Jamie, you ruined me.
I think it would be fun. It would be a fun Loftus family tradition if we all just occasionally get banned from Twitter
for no reason. But see, you were the first one to do it.
I was right.
The OG. So in that way, he honors you.
Even Marrow now is like taking a page from the Jamie Loftus handbook and getting banned from Twitter.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's a pretty hip thing to do.
But I think it was because he said he was going to DDT somebody. That's why.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Jamie, what is something that's overrated?
Overrated is, you know, getting a text from Anna Hosnier at 10 p.m. the night before. I, you know, just overrated, just like being the second choice, you know?
You know, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, look, let's really, we don't have to get into that. It's a lot of pain. I showed my ass on Twitter. I was like, yo, I'm about to be in here.
Uh-huh.
You did a very impressive back pedal.
Yeah, I literally put the Homer Bush gif of like, my really bad. Yeah, she had to reschedule because she was sick. But, you know, it's life. People have schedules.
Jamie, you're always our first choice.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
What is something that is underrated?
Something that is underrated is interviewing the Migos.
The Migos?
That's something. Yeah. I interviewed Migos this past week, and it was a uniquely...
So you interviewed Quavo, Offset, Takeoff.
Yes.
And Jamie Loftus.
Yeah.
The
interview no one asked
The new
for.
Frost Nixon. Yeah. The Frost Nixon of our time is Jamie Loftus, ex-Migos.
Yep.
Wait, why were you interviewing them?
You know, the question has been asked. It is... I still fully don't know. They were doing a promotional event before E3 for EA Sports this past week. I've written for Pace Magazine for years. And so they were like, oh, you know, Jamie, you're around. Do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes. And I like Migos a lot. I mean, I did the research and like found out all the stuff. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to like, they're going to love me because I'm going to give them the easiest interview of their lives. Right. I'm not going to ask them about their personal life.
You're not going to ask about why somebody was left off Bad and Bougie?
Right. I'm not going to ask about any of their controversy. I'm not going to ask about
if they're anti-gay.
Yeah, I'm like, because I was going to be like, Migos, happy Pride Month. What's up? But yeah. I was like, I'm just going to keep it really simple. Like, whatever. I only have 10 minutes. And so my really only question was like, what do you do in your spare time? And
wow, you so hard-hitting
literally,
journalism.
Literally, I was giving them the softest softball, and I was also sort of doing it for myself, too, and because it's a promotional event. I was like, oh, you're...
Right.
It's gaming, therefore, that recreation. What do you do for recreation? I'm a brilliant journalist. I deserve a Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Ronan Farrow, Yeah. Kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
Upton Sinclair. Than you.
Upton Sinclair, go do one, fam.
Yeah.
But so I remember when you posted it, I was like, holy shit. And then I read it and I couldn't believe what I was reading. Like, it read like you scripted the most awkward interview ever.
Yeah.
And I think you have a clip, right? We can hear you interact with Migos.
Yeah, this is a clip of me trying to interact with
Migos. And so at this, how deep in the interview are we? How awkward is it? Just set this up really quick.
I'm like, my heart is tightening even thinking about it. So to set the scene, it's myself, Migos.
Mm-hmm. Got
several
it. Okay.
Migos associates, mm-hmm. several EA Sports
Migos
people.
Migos.
Mm-hmm. The room. Tiny.
Okay.
And very hot. I have 10 minutes. The interview before me just got out, and the guy was like, hey, how was it? And he was like,
you sweating blood.
Have fun. And I was like, okay. Went in with 20 questions for a 10-minute interview. Way overprepared. Ran out of questions in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Because they were just kind of like,
yeah, they were not mean. They were not rude to me. They just sort of were like, not.
They were just high as fuck,
they were
probably.
Just not. They were just not. Yeah, I mean, well, they had just gotten off stage, and it was very bizarre. So here's the setup for this is I'm just trying to get them to be like, tell me something that they do that isn't record music or play EA Sports video games, and I struggled.
Is there any other, like, nerdy shit you guys do that you don't talk about a lot? Is there, like...
Playing games?
Hmm? Well, I mean, like, generally, but...
So many times you get to play, everything else is serious. Life is serious out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't play unless
that's
it's
true.
EA. EA. EA.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
All we play.
I applaud EA. You.
EA. EA. EA.
EA. Cool.
All right, cool.
I wanted to wait and make sure that there wasn't another EA.
I thought you were about to have a do lula la bad bougie moment when he's. It sounded like he said, oh, we're going to play a video game. And then I thought you go, I thought then he was going to be like, we'll play a video game?
Here's my hot take opinion. I don't think they play a lot of video games.
No, I've seen them on tour. Like, I think Quavo, he carries around like a suitcase that has like NBA Live built into it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My favorite part of the interview, personally, we can all go around and say our favorite part, was when he said, it's serious out here, we don't play, and you said, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I can relate with
and does the little birds in your chain, do those spin as well on the inside? Okay, cool.
And finally, Jamie, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
The interviewing the Migos would be fun.
Okay. And
I bet they just sounded either super high or they just got off stage. But also, I don't know if I've really seen an interview with Migos where I was like, wow, they really brought it.
No.
They don't. Just, they also don't do a lot of
They're just
kind of
too
interviews.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do a lot. And it was like one of those, I was like, this is a type of anxiety I've never felt. I've been doing like interviewing and like journalism stuff for longer than I've been doing anything. And so it's like one of those things where you go into an interaction and you're like, well, even if I suck at everything else, I know how to talk to musicians about boring shit and I can do that.
Right.
And then just to be like,
Well, their persona to me is almost like, unless they're rapping, I don't think they even talk.
Right.
It's hard for me to just see them just be like, hi, I think I'm going to have the filet mignon, medium rare, with the scalloped potatoes. Like, yeah. I just can't see.
Yeah.
They just feel like they only have one mode, and that's on stage.
Didn't ask about Cardi's baby. I was like, what are you doing?
They're like, did you cheat on Cardi?
Yeah. Excuse me?
Did you cheat on Cardi? Also, why were you left off Bad and Bougie? And you. Is your name Quavius?
Okay.
Hey, do you like Bad and Bougie?
That's a really good one.
That's
hard
my favorite
right.
Quick.
Cool.
Hard right. Into another update in the world of men guys.
Men guys.
So we're going to bring in super producer Sophie Lichterman. Anna Hosnier is out today.
On assignment.
Sophie is here. She dove into the Medium article. This is all breaking this morning. So this is Chris Hardwick's ex-girlfriend who wrote a Medium article in which she described abuse that she suffered at his hands, like, over a long period of time, right?
Correct.
And it was abuse of all sorts. And, I mean, she opens the article by saying, trigger warning, if abuse, sexual assault, or anorexia makes you uncomfortable, you might want to avoid this one. And all of that stuff is in there. And it's really, really, like, one of the more just... It's
he's
just
an evil motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's evil. You had one specific anecdote, Sophie, that kind of stuck with you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole article is, like, it's a hard read. You can tell that, like, how affected she was by his horrible behavior. But, I mean, the thing that stuck out to me most, and it's actually one of the things that I don't think is being covered as much. I mean, they're mostly just covering the, like, sexual harassment and the abuse and, like, him giving her, like, all these weird, like, rules that of things she can't do and cannot do. And, like, him messing, when they broke up, like, messing with, like, where she works and telling people not to hire her. But I think that, for me, the thing that stuck out most was actually at the end of the article. She phrased the paragraph, I'll leave you with this. And she goes in and says that, you know, she lost her period for over a year because of anorexia, because of how emotionally draining the relationship was. And then she tells a story about how somehow when she was with him, she got pregnant and it was an
ectopic
pregnancy.
Ectopic. What's ectopic?
Ectopic.
Mean? That's when you get pregnant by an old box of Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Mm-hmm. I know. I almost said hot topic pregnancy. Yeah. hot topic pregnancy.
I was going to say, now, is that a high-risk pregnancy? Like, but I was like,
I was like, oh, it's not the right segment to say hot topic pregnancy.
Dude, hot pocket? Hot pocket pregnancy?
All right.
An ectopic pregnancy is most often occurs in a fallopian tube, which carries eggs from the ovaries to the uterus. So it's a little different and very dangerous. It's not like when the egg attaches to the lining of the uterus.
Right. Because once the fetus grows, it can break through, right? Isn't that kind of the idea?
Yeah, it's
that's why it's deadly.
It's one of those things that when it happens, like,
right, you have to address it immediately.
You have to address it immediately and have surgery. And so she tells him, and she's worried that he's going to be mad at her or whatever, and not worried that, like, this thing could kill her at any time. So she has the surgery, and this is the thing that stuck with me most, that really showed his character. So after the surgery, the doctor came and spoke to Hardwick and Chloe's mother, and the mom said, thank God, after the doctor said the surgery went well. Chris Hardwick goes, that's great. When do you think I can have sex with her again?
Ugh.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's his first question.
What? In front of her mom.
In front of her mom.
It's like just so inhuman and just weird and awful. The woman's name is Chloe Dykstra, by the way. She is a model. I think she's also does cosplay and is kind of well known for that stuff. And it's just a horrible story. You can read it on Medium, but, you know, the trigger warning is well earned.
So going off this Hardwick thing, very ironically, there was just a stupid article that came out yesterday in the Hollywood Reporter. The headline, it's a comedy actor roundtable. We've got Tony Shalhoub.
Uh-huh.
We've got Ray Romano. We've got Lock the Gates. It's Marc Maron.
No,
we've
Lock got, the Gates.
Boom, no, 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 no. We've got Louis Anderson. We've got Tracy Morgan. We've got Sean Hayes. Really, all the greats.
Just all the funniest.
Like, Louis Anderson probably is the only one I'm interested to see.
I will
Tracy Morgan, too, just because he's a wild card.
I mean, they're all fine, but that's such a...
Actually, yeah, late stage Ray Romano.
Ray Romano turns out good actor, but...
So
are you saying there's some problem with the selection of all the funniest people in Hollywood?
No. Don't get me wrong. I should not be doing this job. Hollywood Reporter, the headline is, quote, we're all going to behave better, unquote, the comedy actor roundtable. You know, and the funny thing is it's presented as like these very famous men who were involved in comedy at some point are all going to like respond to this, and they really don't. The interview is not about Me Too at all. It's framed like it's going to be. but they're just dodging questions. And it opens the first line, quote, "The big fear," says Marc Maron, "is that overnight your reputation can be dismantled and you wake up to this Twitter shitstorm," which I'm sure Chris Hardwick is feeling right now. But the fact that you even open an article like, I'm just so afraid of people finding out how terrible I am.
Yeah, right, exactly. You only have that fear if you have something to fear. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a fraction of a percent of people who are actually going to, who are facing false accusations overnight that ended their careers. I don't think.
So that was just wild. And then the one question that vaguely addressed Me Too of like, it's phrased very obliquely.
It's, oh, who has a Netflix special? Oh, you? Oh, Me Too? Okay, great.
And we got the word me, we got the word too. Okay, and we're all going to behave better.
Me Too, Mama Tambien.
The question is, how are your choices you're making different at this stage of your collective careers? Nice dodge, Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. And they all don't answer the question. Like, Ray Romano's just like, I don't want to do 4-camera sitcoms anymore. I was just like, are you fucking kidding me, dog? Like, they're so you know, top 6 comedians of all time, including, I repeat, Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
They're all going to behave better. So actually, there's nothing to worry about.
Oh,
you're so fucking mad. I saw that. I was like, I cannot wait to not read this. But then I read it anyways.
The Hollywood Reporter looked at that Arrested Development interview and they were like, you know what would have made this better if Jessica Walter wasn't involved
there?
Or then it would
have. Or Ali Shokat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, oh, God. Eat my ass, Hollywood Reporter.
Seriously.
Boom.
Do it.
Hashtag that shit.
Yeah.
Do it, Hollywood Reporter.
I dare you.
I fucking dare you. All right, we're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we wanted to talk a little bit about the future of Tent, so to speak. There's an AT&T Time Warner merger that is happening.
Oh, honey.
Miles loves mergers. Fox and Disney are going to merge, or Disney's going to buy most of Fox, basically everything from Rupert Murdoch that happens in America that isn't the Fox TV channel, because Disney is not permitted to own both ABC and Fox. That would be like an antitrust situation.
Nah.
Oh, Brett's here.
Yeah, what's up, doggies? Shit. Just got in, was playing a round of G at La Costa. had an early tea time, but I'm here, dude, because let me tell you about this little new merge that is going down in Madea. Okay. Ooh. Now, I'm all about the duops. You know what I mean? The duopolies. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Monopolies, a little weird because only one guy's getting the dough. Duops, a little more duop that thing, Lauryn Hill. You feel me?
Uh huh.
So, look, the biggest thing for us, you know, like on the agency side, we're drenching our benches right now because we smell the money coming.
Gross.
And it's going to be sicky. Okay. It's,
yeah.
No, I mean, for sure.
Lofto.
Yeah.
What's like your what's your talk on this? And by talk, you know what I mean. Take.
My little talkies?
Yeah. What you feel?
Here's my talkies on the feelings. Here are my mergy feels.
mergy feels.
I love a good merge.
Merge.
Like, I'm trying to merge with my computer. I'm trying to merge with my fellow man. I went to a little mergy meeting the other day, and the guy leading it was like, before anyone has any questions, merger's great. And I was like,
dude,
yes.
Mergers are grot.
My king. If you're saying the sentence, mergers are great, you better be wearing a suit that's a little too big for you. That is my take on that. Every king who has spoken to me about the merger has been wearing a suit that's a little too large and is like, before you say anything, murder's great.
Yeah, well, he may be a king, great, but I'm a fucking emperor. Because look at my suit, shit's tight as fuck.
It's
right.
You look hurt.
It's H&M kids. It's H&M kids. Not gonna lie, got the tags on because I can return it for my money back.
So I will. Merger fails.
Yeah, well, maybe I do, Jacques. So okay. I mean, look, honestly, Apple. You know, what are they doing? You know what
all
I mean?
Right, so the idea is essentially Netflix and Amazon changed the game by controlling both content and distribution.
Content.
Yeah. So, and these media giants are now making the argument that they need to combine in order to do that to compete with Netflix and Amazon.
Yep.
And
not going to happen.
Fans are just like, oh my God, X-Men and Marvel are going to be in the same universe.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking? I'm like, oh my God, come on, you fucking nerds, give me your money.
Right.
And I'm red for that.
Yo, I went to Whole Foods yesterday and one. Bezos bought my tomatoes. I don't like it. I get like Amazon straight up bought Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Prime members have their tomatoes hacked.
Oh man. Well,
and every pancake has a Bezos face on it. Well, it's Bezos amazing. Bezos.
Well, Jeff is Bez as fuck, as we say in the industry.
Yeah. So.
Here's a rumor I'd like to start.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos shops at Baby Gap.
Only.
Hey, I can't be part of this. I work with him. I'm tag miles back in. Yeah. Right. Anyway, we'll see. I don't. Yeah. I think this is a terrible thing. Brett might not think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the more this
Brett was really
everything
awesome.
Is getting consolidated at the top.
Yes.
And then that is when is really then we're gonna see the. I mean, whatever, you know, late stage capitalism, the movie, it's happening right now.
Right. These companies will all have
the musical.
There was a meme because I just love late stage capitalism memes on Reddit. There was one. It was like three buttons where it said like one button was solve global warming. One was like solve world hunger. Then the third option was privatize space. And then like there's like this hand flying in that says like the bourgeoisie hitting the privatized space button. Yeah, we're fucked, dude.
Yeah, and the thing people are waiting to see, Apple has been sitting this one out up to this point, trying to decide what they'll do with
Tim.
They're just all the money.
Yeah, Tim
day.
Cook.
There Tim. Was Tim Cook.
Yeah, dude.
Put your Baby Gap suit on, boy.
They apparently signed something with Oprah, which I don't know. It all feels very piecemeal compared to these people who are just like smashing worlds together.
Well, they've been ordering a lot of interesting productions from people.
Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know when that turns into a thing I can see.
Right.
Still don't know. We'll find out.
So DJT, as I call him, my man, my king. The god.
My man, Mike. What are you going to do, a fucking virginity ceremony with him? Chastity ceremony?
I swear DJT, my chastity
my emperor,
to
my king.
DJT.
My daddy.
He just dropped in on Fox and Friends this morning and was like, hey, it's me. He's like starting to feel like that guy who shows up to the party, like the high school party,
yeah, right.
4 years after he graduated. Right. Like, yo, it's me.
Like, dude, I thought you were
the Trumpster.
Yeah. I thought you were crippled in a Segway accident.
I thought you had moved on to like better things than going to high school parties.
Like
what
you
is happening?
Terrible.
Also, dude, remember last party? I gave you a shot of Patron. I'm gonna ask for that back.
Right.
Last party.
So he showed up to just kind of cycle through things he had a hot take on. What one of the things was? They asked him about Kim Jong-un, mm-hmm. as I've now heard
Kim
it has to be pronounced.
Nah.
And he, do we have a clip of him saying his thoughts? All right, here, let's listen to that.
Hey, he's the head of a country, and I mean he's the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different.
Right.
He speaks and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
Well, just before you met with him, he cleaned house. Three of his top generals, some of the hardliners, he fired. Then you go over there, and you took some heat over saluting one of the generals.
I think he fired at least, okay? When you say he
three
fired...
Three that we know of.
I think maybe fired at least. Fired may be a nice word.
Oh, as opposed to what, being blown up by an anti-aircraft gun?
Which is what he does to people.
Yeah, he did that to some...
He's so excited about that.
Yo, at least he blew a man apart with an anti-aircraft gun. At least.
He just wants to be a dictator so bad. He's like giddy with excitement about the idea that this guy, not only do people like pay attention, and he later claimed he was joking, which maybe he was joking. He did seem to like be doing his fun times Trump tone there, but then like he really seems to like get into the fact that like these guys can have people killed. Like it really seems like he's
that'll be tight
about it
when Kim Jong-un comes to the White House.
Just in general, I've heard some people who are, you know, not that invested in one side or another say that they feel like it seems like the media is immediately jumping to the conclusion that the meeting in North Korea was a bad thing because, and they're like, well, the guy just can't win with them. This is like my uncles and parents type of people. But I do think, I don't know, like, it does feel like, you know, he didn't get into a fist fight with him, and that was good. And I suspect he admires his power, which is, like, why he was so nice to him. But I don't know, there's something to be said for keeping your enemies close, I guess. And I do think that we kind of, because we had accepted the fact that, okay, this meeting was going to happen, let's see what happens with this meeting, we did kind of compress the, well, it's still good that the meeting happened, part of it, into just now being like...
Bar's too low. The bar's too low.
Yeah.
That's it, what.
It's like, keep your enemies close, but don't disrespect Canada.
Right. Yeah.
Keep
exactly.
your friends close and suck on your enemy's dick. Right. You know, that old adage, you know?
Yeah. Don't create.
According to Brett, that's how I get down.
Right.
There's a reason why
he
can't get a win.
Chess.
Well, the problem is, objectively, there was nothing different about this. And
right.
compared to other times we met with North Korea, and there's been a little fancy piece of paper saying we agree to probably agree in the future.
Right.
This was even weaker than those. So I don't know where the win comes from. I guess at the very least you can say, well, it was nudged in the direction of diplomacy versus aggressive behavior.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Then at the very least, yes.
Yeah. And just in the sense that they have like a rapport now, that is a thing that appears to have happened. They do have a rapport, like,
right.
for whatever that's worth. At the same time, I really do not like people giving him credit for pulling us back from the brink of nuclear disaster because he was the one who put us
that
on the brink in the
there.
First place. So let's just keep that in mind.
Well, and also, any of you guys listening out there in the Zeitgang, when people want to pull that shit, well, we got closer to this, blah, blah, blah. Find me one quote from a person in the military when they asked about that who says, yeah, he did end the nuclear threat from North Korea. They all go, what?
Right.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, motherfucker, he still got them shits.
Right. Miles, you had, just on the subject of the week in the Trump administration, you had a biblical quote
that
you wanted to share.
I mean, so we were talking yesterday about the separations of families and shit like that.
Right.
And how just awful that is and how we are just dehumanizing these immigrants who are coming to this country who are seeking a better life, like many of the people who came to this country, okay? And we're just trying to throw that shit out in the name of xenophobia and MAGA-ness. Mm-hmm. So to really set all this up, there is at the White House press briefing yesterday, it got fucking hot. So while we were recording, there was a White House press briefing. Sarah Sanders had to go face human beings who were just generally asking, yo, what's good with all this terrible shit? Mm-hmm. So this is first. Clearly, she kind of came in hot because, as we were saying yesterday, there were rumors about her leaving. Trump even kind of half confirmed that today with his surprise interview. So she was already on edge. And so when people started
sweating through her Donna Karen,
sweating through her whatever antimatter clothing. So I think it was Jim Acosta. Somebody started pressing her basically about this really inhumane practice. And so here are a few of the exchanges.
On these children who are being separated from their families as they come across the border, the Attorney General earlier today said that somehow there's a justification for this in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible that it's moral to take the children away from their mothers?
I'm not aware of the Attorney General's comments or what he would be referencing. I can say that it is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible. However,
the
Bible this... hold on, Jim, if you'll let me finish. I haven't seen.
It's in the Bible to
That's not
the
what
law.
I said, and I know it's hard for you to understand. Even short sentences, I guess, but and please don't take my words out of context. But the separation of illegal alien families is the product of the same legal loopholes that Democrats refuse to close. And these laws are the same that have been on the books for over a decade. And the president is simply enforcing them.
It's a moral policy to take children away from their parents.
It's a moral policy to follow and enforce the law.
When they come across the border,
Jim,
they're with their parents, and then suddenly they're pulled away from their parents. Why is the government doing this?
Because it's the law, and that's what the law states. And
the
law.
You guys don't have to do that. It's your right.
It doesn't have to be the law. And the president has actually called on Democrats in Congress to fix those loopholes.
Okay, first of all, she said it's biblical. Jeff Sessions gave a Bible verse, which has been used by proponents of slavery, mind you. That is a hot take from the Bible. And I'm just curious what Bible they're reading. But I think I found it because I just saw a verse in the Sarah Huckabee Sanders Bible. It's Matthew 4, verse 19. Mm-hmm. And as the tired leper reached out to his merciful hand, Christ pulled back and asked, "You MS-13?
Uh-huh.
And the one leper of my died. Favorites. So, yeah. Yes, I get that. Yes, there is evidence in the Bible that says we should discriminate people because, you know, I don't know if they're immigrants. The loophole thing is ridiculous. What they're talking about is that there was a law, like a settlement that was made or that became the law, that essentially says that kids cannot be in detention facilities. So the loophole there is they're being like, well, if they can't be in the detention facilities with the adults, then we have to separate them.
So that's the Democrats' fault their, because they are saying that the kids should be thrown in prison.
Because they're saying
if the
kids,
Democrats would just let us throw children in prison, well, that is then we wouldn't have to separate them.
So fucking disingenuous because this is the policy that Jeff Sessions, at the head of the DOJ, that's his policy. So right. As president, he can direct the DOJ to change this, but they're trying to act like, oh, how do you going to talk to the Democrats?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about? You're in control. You're in the White House. And all this, it's just, it's such bullshit. It's so cruel, and I'm sick of it.
This is a change in policy from when the Obama administration would, you know, arrest somebody for coming across the border illegally. They would then give them a misdemeanor. You know, they might give them a tracking bracelet or something like that, and then they would let them go with their children because they realize that this is like the most horrifying thing you can do to a human being is when their child separate them from their parent. And so this is an actual change that has been made in policy, and to claim that it's the Democrats because the Democrats won't let them throw children in prison with their parents is fucked.
Yeah. So, yeah, hey, DJT, go do one, my guy. Mm-hmm. You got to figure this out. And also, yeah, I mean, Sarah Sanders, my God. You could even hear the press pool be like, that was low, Sarah.
No,
yeah.
So this is – the media is so stupid, though, because they go, that was a cheap shot, Sarah, which implies that everybody knows he can't understand short sentences. But, like don't point that part out, Sarah, because she's no, like, I guess you can't even say – like, it's just the way they were like, that's a cheap shot, which is not what you would say if it – like, that
yeah,
that implies
right.
that it's
that
a
he
true
actually
thing.
Can't read.
Come on. We all know Jim can't understand short sentences.
Jim,
Sarah.
Sorry. Sarah bad. Right. Jim, you good. Jim, right. No listen, Sarah, because
that's
Jim
five
good.
Words is too long, too long. Yeah, right, too long. Right.
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess what they just mean, like,
I know,
rhetorically,
I know what they
yeah,
meant,
right.
But it's just, they're so
well,
bad
I think
at
they're
arguing.
So fed up in that fucking, right. in that room, because yeah. also April Ryan has to get fucking talked to like she ain't shit
yeah, no.
every
yeah.
day in there because she's actually asking questions like a journalist.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't know me. You know, just so petty. So you know what, Sarah? For a second, I almost felt bad for you.
No.
And then you come back with that fucking disingenuous, the like, don't evoke the Bible to justify this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know she's panicking too.
Right.
Is like if you're going and like pulling random Bible verses to explain why you're doubling down on a horrific policy. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's a. As a red flag, that's how you know you're... Oh, God, I can't... She makes me so mad.
Mm.
Well, you can hear her sweat.
Let's move on to someone who makes us very, very happy here at the Daily Zeitgeist. You did just hear a sweat drop off of Jamie and into the giant pool of sweat at her feet. But somebody who has just been making us very happy is one Scott Costanza Pruitt. He... The details just keep coming. Miles, what did we learn now?
Oh, this guy sucks and he needs to go. So we just find out, the New York Times reporting that Pruitt contacted the former speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates. So he went to the state's government, okay, in seeking help to get his daughter, McKenna, into UVA law.
McKenna.
Oh, McKenna Pruitt. I'm so sorry, girl. But yeah. So, but essentially, a spokesperson.
His wife's name is Marlon, by the way.
Marlon Brando or Wayans?
Wayans.
Oh, okay. And then it said, Pruitt spokesperson told the Times that the two were longtime friends and that the letters of recommendation are normal process for an application to law school. But basically, he wrote the letter and she got in. So, all good. They also say in this story.
Go, McKenna.
He also.
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
You've been gaslit into thinking that you are capable. Sorry. Right. Man, privilege, huh? But yes, they are also saying that a lot of the aides were getting him tickets to sporting events like the Rose Bowl and like something, quote, countless other sporting events. So he's like, yeah, give me some tickets to the Rose Bowl. Get my daughter in college. It's just, yeah. Wow.
Cartoon corrupt business guy.
Honestly, this is a bad example because so many kids are going to aspire to be the head of the EPA.
Right. Now
because it looks like it's the dopest job ever.
It is.
Fly first class. Security guards drive you around to get lotion. You can get used mattresses, eating snacks all day.
But he's so inefficient at it because, like, he would make them drive around all day to find him lotion that they could get at, the lotion store. Like, right?
Yeah,
like,
but I don't like the internet.
Right.
You would think that, you know, at first the EPA gets this big bump from being, like, the evil force in Ghostbusters. Now the Prudential Center is really... Really bringing it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to McKenna, my girl McKenna.
What do you think? How do you think she feels? Do you think she's like with her chest out, like, yeah, I should be at UVA Law? Or do you think she's going to be there knowing that, like, literally you were just put on blast by the New York Times? Be like, honey,
McKenna?
You only got in because your dad's a corrupt.
I'll just give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she hates her father.
I hope so. And it's like, girl, just lie low.
In my mind, she's that girl on Twitter who like wore the AR-15 to her graduation at Kent State.
I know that's probably what she is, but I don't know, so I'm gonna give her the best.
I hope she is woke and cool and will use her
and is more and like her first her day at law school. She goes, first of all, everyone, I just want you to know, I am mortified at the manner in which I got here, and I understand that I maybe should not be here, and I just want to let you know I'm woke.
And would anyone like some lotion?
It's from the Ritz-Carlton.
You guys can call me McKenzie. For sure. Paul Manafort.
I was just thinking maybe that used mattress was for her dorm. Like... He's like, hey, mattresses are expensive. Right. And you're like, you're going to law school. I'm not paying that tuition. You're going to sleep on a used mattress.
Guys, the worst with money, the worst with, yeah, he's a bad shopper. Mm-hmm. Bad shopper.
That's really his true crime.
He's bad at consuming, consumption. Paul Manafort has been sent to jail.
Yeah.
The fucking guy who was running our president's campaign.
I don't know him. He's a loser.
He is in jail now.
Yeah.
Like, literally because he can't be trusted not to commit crimes further, like, surrounding an investigation.
Exactly. He was witness tampering. He was trying to call people like, yo, let's get our fucking story straight. Yeah. I'm going to jail for a long time. And they found out because he stored all his messages in the cloud. That's how Robert Mull was able to see them. Mm-hmm. Because he was like, I'm sorry, old man. Do you know about the cloud? Because
big data mistake, yeah. You dumbass. Oh,
it sounds like a comedy that will happen soon, starring Larry David or something, about like someone who's like, the cloud, what?
I genuinely do appreciate in the past couple of years how many like horrible politicians or people working in politics who have been straight up busted for being old people who cannot use computers.
Yeah.
That's like the way so many people.
Yeah.
They're just like, I didn't know how to operate Google Drive and now I have to go to jail.
But wait till this new batch, wait till these like younger kids start getting to that age and they're like the fucking hackers. You know what I mean? That's where it's like...
Don't debase my community.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry. Hacker communities, hackers out there.
I am a hacker.
But I do think that this is just an illustration of something. Like, our economy and just the world in general has been made, like, way, way less efficient than it should be by people who just... We still have a huge part of the world that is run by people who don't know how to use technology.
Yeah.
And so, like, just... The crimes are where we're going to see it because it's going to be like in the headlines that like, oh, they fucking suck at technology. But like, think about all the just behind the scenes ways that they're just gumming up the works by.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone says we're not doing anything to protect ourselves from cyber threats in this country.
Yeah.
We saw how those hearings went with Mark Zuckerberg got up there and all these old people were like, so how do you make money? How come my grandson can't see my photos?
Right.
Like what?
The fact that Mark Zuckerberg was the coolest person in that room
speaks volumes
because he is the biggest narc.
But yeah, again, Manafort, he basically had his bail revoked. So this whole time before, he was able to la-di-da around with his ankle bracelet at home. And now the judge is like, I'm sorry, my guy, you're going in to the clink. Hope you have a nice celly. So yeah, he'll be there till his trial in September. We'll see, man. That's when they say people really, that's when they break. Because if you've been out of jail, especially in a kind of situation where you're like, I'm not going to roll or whatever, I don't know how long he's going to last.
He's going to do some summer camp cosplay. I mean, where is he going to jail? He's going to like rich people jail, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to like summer camp jail.
I hope.
I don't care.
I hope he has a grand old time. Either way, he's going to be. I don't care what jail. I don't think he's going to go to like Martha Stewart fun camp. Hope not. Not right now, because this is just him being held until his trial. So,
right.
Like, if. I mean, I don't know how the correctional facilities work up there, but either way, I think when you are fully stripped of your freedom, regardless of the setting, that's when the gears will start going in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I feel like he will have the Madoff thing in jail where he is just like takes over the prison by like teaching people how to do scams and stuff.
Right.
Like, he'll be a celebrity. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back after that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And we want to get to this story. It's sort of a news of the weird.
Yeah.
It's a strange story, but just when you told it to me this morning, Miles, over coffee.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I know. You.
I don't know why I just turned into
the boys are sipping Java this morning, just chit-chatting about.
You nearly dropped your bowl of muesli. Mm. Yes, the story goes that there's this young man in Canada who is a very accomplished clarinet player, and he was going to McGill University, and he applied to this very, very competitive program, the Colburn Conservatory of Music in LA, and they only accept this one instructor, Yehuda Gilad, okay, who I don't know who that is, but apparently it's a big deal. This
My
instructor
fucking guy.
Only accepts two new students per year.
Jesus.
So this is fucking highly. This is like, yo, if you're trying to be the GOAT on clarinet,
you gotta get him with.
I'm sorry, but also shout out to you. What?
Yes. You could be playing the oboe, which is harder.
Oh wow!
As a 10-year oboe player,
good lord!
Did you hand carve your own reeds?
I sure did.
Wow.
I was the only kid at my high school allowed to bring a knife to school because I carved my own reeds. I had a school-sanctioned knife.
Oh, good for you.
It was beveled. It wasn't dangerous.
Okay, so anyway, we digress. But yes, shout outs to the oboe players. And I have, you know, great love for the oboe players and the clarinet. Anyway, woodwinds, shout outs to you.
Yeah.
So
you're so afraid of woodwind
I
players.
I am.
Miles.
You know,
it comes through in everything you say.
Your
when you've
are
been
flooded.
Attacked by a bassoon player, you right. you don't fuck up anymore.
Bassoon players are intense.
They are intense. So anyway, he was applying to this very competitive program. He gets a letter back saying, "I'm sorry, you've not made it." And he's fucking destroyed. He's like,
right.
"How the f-?" He's like, "This is all I wanted. This was like how I was going to become a professional musician." So he ends up sort of foregoing that, delays his education a bit, and just sort of has to like kind of work it all out. Meanwhile, his girlfriend's super supportive through this whole thing. Then 2 years later,
that's so sweet.
He goes to audition again for this conservatory. When he shows up for the audition, Gilad asked this young man a perplexing question to him. He says, "What are you doing here? You rejected me." And then that's when the guy said, was in his mind, was like, "Wait, what are you talking about? Something went wrong." Turns out that his girlfriend had rejected his acceptance letter. She deleted it from his email and then made up fake accounts to communicate back to the instructor being like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I can't accept this position. I'm going to be somewhere else." And then also creating an account for the girlfriend to pretend she was the instructor, Gilad, to like interact with her boyfriend and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, my guy, I couldn't make it, blah, blah, blah." So this man went 2 years being like his life was in a head spin. So he took her to court. And shout out to the Ontario Superior Court, which awarded him $350,000 Canadian dollars, around $260 for out here in the U.S.
$2.60.
$2.60. No, $260,000 U.S. dollars, just basically caused by his girlfriend's, quote, reprehensible betrayal of trust and despicable interference in Mr. Abramovitz's career. So,
okay, in my defense, because I did do this.
Yeah.
Okay, my first relationship was in high school with a saxophone player. Mm-hmm. Did he dump me for the saxophone? Absolutely. Nothing stings worse. You're like, "Oh, being left for another person must be the worst feeling in the world." No, it is being left for a woodwind instrument.
Yeah, I guess
being left in the dust by a woodwind instrument stings.
So this is your like origin story.
This is my I'm with her. I'm with her.
I just it's so it's a level of possessiveness or jealousy that it's so hard to imagine to go that far and be like, "No, I'm going to just change the rails of your life really quick," and just be like, "No, it's going this way now."
Do you think he's going to stay with her?
No, they broke up.
I know.
No, yeah. But no, not even after the fact.
So
they had
we
been.
Can make it work.
They
were broke,
sure they broke up.
They were broke
Everybody
up a
breaks
year
up with
after
their
though.
High school boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, that's. It's
hey,
just,
I tried to make it work with Jessica. You know, it didn't work
no,
out.
No, I did too, but like, it never
Wait,
worked.
Wait, you dated
out.
Jessica too?
Yeah. Jessica. Oh.
Wait.
We should
Wait, you're Jack? Wait, motherfucker.
Oh, no.
Oh,
my.
No, shout out to her, though. Shout out to Jessica. She's doing good.
No, but everybody. everybody moves on, does fine. It's just like, that's a new level of just fucking everything up for something that seems like the biggest deal in the world when you're in high school, because you're in high school.
Yeah. I'm excited for this movie to come out.
Oh my God.
I cannot wait for this
movie. It sounds like a good Seth Rogen kind of pick, where like, about, especially about the years in between where he's broken and he's like, oh, fuck.
This is the story that I can most see becoming a like right wing men's rights like story where it's they're all
women ruin lives.
Yeah.
Really, you know, woman on woman drama is one thing to be promoted by the media, but like woman on woodwind instrument drama, that's some real shit. That's some real. I hesitate to go back into like my Facebook messages circa 08 and just be like, I don't understand why an alto sax is more important than me. But also, shout out to high school boyfriend Andrew, because he is a saxophone professor now. So
good for him.
So straight up worked out.
So you had to get out the way. You know what I mean?
You know what?
What if you were some fucking weird oboe player?
Exactly.
You would have robbed this. No, you know what? It all worked out.
Was the movie Whiplash triggering for you?
It was extremely triggering.
I bet.
Not just because his drumming technique was so shitty that his hands were bleeding. Come on, my guy.
No. Also, you can't get that
double time swing on that ride somewhere, and you at this conservatory. There's so many technical things wrong with that.
Exactly.
That movie is like one of those like scream at you till you're good movies that I find so frustrating to watch.
It's so good, though.
That's how it works.
Miles Teller sucks, dude.
Yeah. No. No way. Okay. Not my Miles Teller.
That's what he calls me.
Yes.
And you're my Miles Teller. And I'm like, this is weird. Can I take this wig off? So, World Cup date.
World Cup date!
Woo! 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 Oh, World Cup date! Yo! It's lit! What? Yo, Nick! Thank you so much. Whoa, that dropped just...
I didn't know that was coming, and we all started dancing immediately.
Wow. And that's how he plays God in that room,
right?
Because he just watched all the idiots dance.
My blood pressure just rose by like 900%.
Wow, thank you so much, super producer Nick Stubb. Anyway.
That was the most Euro-sounding...
That got me going.
Something about that echoey synth thing.
I just got my eyebrows arched. So, yesterday... I was joking about how Putin and Mohammed bin Salman, because Russia played Saudi Arabia, were like dabbing each other and probably joking like, yo, whose player you think are more afraid of them, you or me? It turns out it might be Mohammed bin Salman, because yesterday Saudi Arabia lost 5-0 to Russia. And that's fine. You know, people weren't expecting much
fine
from
if you
either
want to
side.
Embarrass your
right.
country.
So cut to today. The head of the Saudi Football Federation, like the governing body for their soccer, was basically like, yo, these players got some fucking splaining to do. So this man was talking to the local paper in Saudi Arabia and basically saying, quote, we are very disappointed by the defeat. This result is totally unsatisfactory because it does not reflect the true level of our preparedness.
Fair enough.
Then it gets, like, I started sweating. Then he says, several players will face a penalty.
Ooh.
Goalkeeper Abdullah Al-Mayouf.
He named names.
Striker Mohammed Al-Salawi. And defender Omar Halsawi. Basically calling out fucking names. I don't know what that penalty looks like. I don't want to know. I hope it's not some real shit. But I mean, even
but
like.
It's going to be, right?
They
don't fuck around.
They
in
do
that
not
country.
Fuck around. I mean, yo, I mean. The women only just started driving like 3 months ago. So and they like public punishment, you know, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, that shit went down. The the chairman of the General Sport Authority, he said, described the game as a total fiasco when he put a video on Twitter saying it like that. So, I mean, I think it'll just be like, I hope just for like the human rights aspect of it is like it's a very maybe just sick way to motivate the players going into the next game. Mm-hmm. But please don't do anything drastic, Saudi Arabia. It's just the World Cup. We're just trying to have fun. We're just trying to bring the world together. I know that the U.S. supports you in literally everything you do, but come on now. Like
I would hope that because he named names, that probably means nothing bad will happen to them. Because if you were really going to do something bad, you wouldn't be like, hey, here's three people to keep an eye on.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, the keeper just comes in with like dual arm slings in the next game. I don't know. I think I don't want to speculate on what could happen. But let's just hope it's an odd motivational tactic.
Yeah.
And I'll just do a quick National Basketball Association update. on. So, Lakers fans, settle down.
Wait, what just happened?
Because the second that anybody declares that they're going to sign with a different team, Lakers fans are like, we're going to get LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George? And it's just like, come on, guys.
Well, the room just got so tense.
I know, yeah. Because I'm in here with two Lakers fans who just automatically, the second somebody announces they're going to leave their current team, they just assume they're going to the Lakers.
First of all, I don't assume
that. Which that might happen.
Also, I'm a LeBron not liker, not a hater.
You guys don't want LeBron. I don't want him. Also shows how crazy Lakers fans are.
Exactly, because we're so arrogant about the franchise itself.
You don't want the best player.
Nah, not just for a little bit part. Nah, not for a bit part.
You okay.
Know what I mean? People put their blood and sweat on the line. Mm-hmm. Those jerseys that are hung up, these motherfuckers put in work.
Yeah.
Okay. No. And whatever. I don't care because either way, the Lakers are going to be trash. and I've accepted
the highs and lows of being a Lakers fan.
And I'm already dead inside.
Don't everybody go to the Celtics, please.
I was about to say, my favorite team is the Boston Bruins.
Hey, there you go.
I would love to see him go to the Celtics and then have you on just for you to just kind of be like, yay, Boston. And then Jack just be seething inside. You better watch out. Shorty on Twitter was like, you better stop talking crazy about Boston sports. I forget somebody
Woj
said that.
Woj is dropping Woj bombs being like, well, the Celtics have the best pieces. So, everybody's going to end up on the Celtics, including Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And it's just going to be another Celtics dynasty for the next 12.
Sorry, what?
Celtics have the best Zambonis in the game.
When they get that parquet nice and leveled out from all the skates tearing it up.
Bruins and Celtics, same stadium.
Miles.
Zamboni's parked in the basement.
Cam Neely for life.
Yep.
Jamie, Miles, it is Friday. You know what that means. It is time for a extremely brief Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch. All right, so we're going through it fast. Oh, shit. No, we got to keep that drop sacred. So we'll keep it real quick. On the cover of OK Magazine, you got Carrie Underwood, and it says, how real love saved Carrie, the untold story of her ultimate betrayal, and how husband Mike healed her broken heart. You go into the fucking thing. It's basically about, you know, she cut her face and had to get 50 stitches.
We're still talking about that?
Yes. This was 6 months ago, okay? Uh-huh. And I don't know why we're talking about it. I don't know why people give a shit.
And she looks completely
the same. I don't know what they are talking about. So then it says, faced with frightening uncertainty over how she would heal. Sources say.
Faced with frightening uncertainty. Ooh.
It was Mike's unwavering love and support that got Carrie through her darkest days. Okay, I'm sorry. Getting a facial scar that no one can barely notice, I understand that can be trying, but don't sensationalize this woman's pain. Like, to act like this was something very monumental. Like, we got real shit going on.
Right,
and to cover story, the thing is like, she cut her face.
Right.
Her husband was there for her. That's not an inspiring story. That seems like you have the most lit publicist, and they can somehow get you the cover to be like, I hurt myself.
And she still says, she just like fell down. That's how she cut her face?
Yeah.
Huh.
Every time I see a story like that, like on the cover, I'm like, oh, this person's publicist has government secrets that they are
right.
selling.
Right, right.
Boring news is a red flag that someone's publicist got secrets.
Yeah. But that's cool. So there's that thing.
Good.
They have Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey. For any of y'all who fuck with Real Housewives of New Jersey, she has a look on her face that only a champion who is manic can have. Her eyes, she's like, I'm lifting weights now.
The blood in her face, that's not her blood.
Yeah.
That's someone else's blood.
It's a child's blood.
Then on Star Magazine, it says, so they're saying Kim and Kanye about to divorce, but we knew that.
Sure.
But they're saying they reference like how one of the lyrics on the Ye album Wouldn't Leave was like, oh, we about to lose it all, blah blah blah. And then they're saying like he's basically never around as like a father because he's just in his own world. Mm-hmm. And then she says an insider, of course, it's always an insider. Kim thinks Kanye is just trying to get attention, but it's affecting her image and business, and that comes first for Kim.
Uh huh.
Her image and her business comes first, not her family or her fucking anything else. It's her business and her image. Fuck everything else. I mean, I think, for one,
am shocked that Kim and Kanye's relationship is not exactly like me and my wife's. It seemed,
no.
I always thought that we were just on the same plane.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have ideas why that marriage might not be working out, but that's a whole other show. So then there is the Jen and Brad's big news. So remember, we've been talking about this, I think, since the first time this kind of story creeped up, Jack. You were like, eventually it's just going to culminate with Brad and Jen are back together, getting married and having a kid, despite there being no evidence.
No truth to it.
And In Touch has achieved, we have reached the promised land.
They
wedding
did it.
And a baby. Brad and Jen. Jen
secret ceremony after Jen gets the happy news. Okay. It says, like, reception at George Clooney's Italian villa. Only 14 friends and family members invited.
Very detailed.
So they're like, oh, my God, they got married? But it's no. It's you go inside, and it's just sort of like, she's a relationship girl. And they're like, she's like, you know, you want to have, like, anyway, she's talking about how marriage is cool. And then they say she's about to get her wish. Because she reunited with Brad after she split from Justin. We've still not seen a picture of them
together.
We've only hear about sources. And then it just says, yeah, they're planning to wed and start a family, multiple insiders tell In Touch. And then they're like, well, luckily for Brad and Jen, they have access to one of the most picturesque locations on the planet. They are aiming for an August ceremony and reception at George Clooney's villa in Lake Como. And then it's like, there'll be 14 guests and, you know, probably Elton John will perform.
So
Bono from U2.
Making up all the details.
There's nothing that says definitively, aside from sources,
source.
So there must be something going on. There has to be, right? Because you can't just publish this
you
shit.
Can.
How? How?
Because you just claim you have a source. That source is just your friend who you are paying to make up details. And they know that they have not sold as many magazines in the history of their publication as they did when it was the Brad, Angelina, Jen love triangle.
Right.
So they're just, the second they got a divorce, they were like, we can go back to this now. And that's what they're doing.
And even like the cover, if you like break down those series of like quote unquote facts, they're all like Brad and Jen. Names, wedding and a baby. Two things that exist, two nouns.
Right,
right.
Secret ceremony, could be satanic, we don't know, after Jen gets the happy news, which is that her car didn't get towed. You know, it's like you can just isolate it and just be like,
And then like in court, you can be like, that's what that was referencing. When I said, Jen, I'm hoping for a boy, that was a line from Along Came Polly.
Right.
So
you're projecting onto the headline.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Well, I mean, shout outs to you guys. I hope you end up together because I would love to see them back together.
Oh, my
personally.
God.
That's
me,
just me
too.
That's just me.
Oh, my God. Me too.
It would save print.
Yes,
it would. Together.
And America.
Sadly,
Jamie, it has been a goddamn pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, and what is a tweet that you love?
Ooh, okay. You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. Listen to the Bechdel cast. Dropping on How Stuff Works next week.
On what?
June
this
20.
Very network?
First. Yep.
June
it's 21st. Almost like I won't leave.
It's almost like I sleep under this desk.
It's almost like I was here before everybody today.
I'm going to have to figure out how you got in here.
Listen, I've hacked the mainframe. I can appear wherever I want. A tweet I like, this was composed a week ago, so there is some dated info in it, which you'll hear, but it's from an amazing comic named Julia Clare at OJuliaTweets, and it reads as follows. Colin Jost is dating Scarlett Johansson, Pete Davidson's dating Ariana Grande, and every female comedian is saying, I wonder if I can get this pile of sweatshirts to commit to me. The realest shit I've read in a long time.
Miles, where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet that you enjoyed?
Oh, wow. Let's see. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at Miles of Gray. Now, in terms of a tweet that I really like, I would actually just refer...
I hope you drag this out for like 20 minutes.
Just
I would
think
I just
as I
say.
Locate a tweet that I feel people
personally
would respond to in a way, I think that... I would actually just tell everybody to follow the homie Jared Holt from Right Wing Watch on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, my guy is out here keeping tabs on these people on the right wing and all the fuckery. And also, they really come for him. Like, they fucking troll him all the time with that soy boy shit. But you know what, Jared? You out here doing the Lord's work. So please follow at Jared Holt if you want to kind of have an insight into the weird right wing shit without actually having to follow those fucked up toxic accounts.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. A tweet that I've enjoyed at Dan White. I did not stutter.
I love this
at,
account.
And then AT Dan White. Just a dude I found on Twitter who is really funny. So he tweeted, and this was a long time ago, but I just like it. Just learned that the, quote, Apple Ass Challenge is not a real thing. It was a prank created by my shithead nephew, and the video he took of my clenching an apple in my quivering ass while I walk up a flight of stairs did nothing to raise money or awareness of childhood obesity. That is at damn white.
Okay, I followed.
Yeah, that's just funny as fuck. And that's going to do it for this week. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes! Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we are going to ride out on for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, what's that going to be?
Man, so I'm just feeling some Latin flavor right now.
Ooh.
So this is like a little, it's a track technically by Quantic called Cumbia Sobre el Mar, featuring Nidia Góngora, and it is, again, if you want to get your toe tapping, you know, make a big toe shoot up in your boot, maybe put some honey in your hips, activate your hips a little bit this weekend, get, you know, start getting ready for the weekend, it's get your shoulders dipping, it's all in the hips, baby. Let this song just take you away. I'm literally, this is like one of my favorite songs, like when the weather gets warm, just to be blasting. So just peep this, Cumbia Sobre el Mar by Quantic.
It means death to Israel, to shout out my favorite joke from
that joke yesterday. Wow.
From
Ismael Lutfi.
Ismael Lutfi.
He thought you lived here. Awesome.
Yeah. He literally thought you lived here.
On the call box, and he was like, "Does Jamie live here?" I was like, "Yeah." Was that a joke or
kind
what?
Of?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like,
count?
"Where's her room?"
It's the conference room.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend, everyone. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.